This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 7. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, and I will be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. This is our 7th podcast in a series of podcasts that are dedicated to assisting independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In our feature segment of the podcast, we will be looking at two tests. One, that our customers or clients apply to us, and the other is a look at the staggering results we have received from contractors taking the Construction 101 assessment. In our legal segment, we will be looking at how a subcontractor modified a standard form of agreement given to it by a general contractor, causing problems, and what the legal ramifications of that were. In our safety section, we will be looking at OSHA's crackdown on residential construction. In our quick tip or bonus section, we will again be looking at the Construction 101 assessment and a free trial offer on estimating software. I think you will find all of the information presented both helpful and informative. Welcome to the feature segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. I know I always say this every time I start a podcast, but I can't believe another month has gone by. And actually, this time, it's been about a month and a half. Been a very, very busy summer so far. A lot of hot temperatures and very little work. I have to say I'm a little disappointed with what I saw coming up in the spring as a little bit of a relaxing of this recession or maybe even a depression that we're in. But now it looks like it's back and work is starting to dry up again. Projects aren't being funded. So I think it really behooves us to think about our marketing efforts and what we need to do primarily to retain our current clients. 2 weeks ago, I got to go to a small community's local area Chamber of Commerce meeting, and they had a featured speaker there by the name of Jeff Peden. And I have to say that I was really taken aback by what he had to say, so I thought I'd share that with you in this podcast. It's a little background for you. Jeff is a motivational speaker that speaks to business organizations and community groups throughout the country, and I really feel privileged to have had the opportunity to hear him at this luncheon. Jeff opened up his talk with asking each of us what business that we're in, and of course everyone around the room came up with all different answers about what kind of business that we were in, and Jeff pointed out that maybe all of us were wrong. He even offered us a $20 bill for anybody that could come up with the right answer. Well, I didn't win the $20 because I told Jeff that I was in the construction business. According to Jeff, each of us should be in the referral business. And you know, the more I thought about it and listened to him speak, I think he's exactly correct. All of the contracts that we've gotten that were a referral from an existing customer or client have been the best contracts that we've received. We all spend a great deal of money chasing new prospects and new contracts, but I don't think we spend enough of our time and energy working with our existing clients and customers, trying to get them to refer work from friends and other businesses that they know. I think this is an area in our marketing effort that we need to spend a great deal more time on during these difficult economic times. I think the rewards could be very, very beneficial. In addition, Jeff presented what he called the customer test. This is a test that every customer or client puts us through every time that we start a new project or start that new relationship. The first question on the test that we have to pass from our client's perspective is, can I trust you? Our clients really want to know that they can trust us. The second is, do you care about me? Do you really care about their project? Do you care about them individually? Do you care about what they're trying to do? I think these things are very important in building that relationship with our clients. The third is, can I depend on you? Are you going to do my project on time? Are you going to treat me fairly? Can I depend on you to be there? Can I depend on you to show up when you're supposed to show up? These are all questions that go through his mind when he looks at whether he can depend on us or not. And the fourth is, are you real? Or are you just putting on some kind of act just to get the client's business? Jeff used a great illustration. Thinking back to when we were in high school, you know, it was all about our appearance. It was how we looked. We were always trying to find that right magic elixir, you know, and how we smelled. I guess in my time it was English lather or Polo or something, you know, that put it on and you'd walk down the hallways and the girls would just pass out when you walked by. It was so great. Well, now that we're adults, that's changed. It's not about what we look like anymore. It's about who we are. It's about whether we're real. They want to know whether we're being real with them. They want to know whether they can really count on us down the road and that we're going to be there for them through the whole process and project. The last question is, are you telling me the truth? About 10 years ago, I got absolutely fed up with people not telling me the truth. Just last week, my wife and I were going through a drive-thru at a local fast food restaurant, hamburger chain. I pulled up and looked at the sign, and here's this great, big, fat, thick, juicy-looking hamburger. And, you know, the hamburger was just hanging out of the bun, and it just looked so good. And went through and ordered it and got it out and opened it up, and I had to look under the bun to find the meat. And I thought of that great Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? Why can't people just tell the truth? That's what clients really want. They want us to tell the truth. And I think that really goes to giving them realistic expectations. When a client says they want you to be finished with a certain section of a project by this time next month and you know you can't do it, you don't just go ahead and tell them that, well, we'll make it or whatever. Tell them the truth. Give them realistic expectations. Because I think that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for realistic expectations and they're looking for people that'll tell them the truth. I promise you, if you can pass the customer test, can I trust you? Do you care about me? Can I depend on you? Are you real? Are you telling me the truth? You'll have all the repeat business that that customer can possibly give to you. And more importantly, you'll have those wonderful referrals. And then just think about putting the shoe on the other foot. Isn't this the kind of company, the kind of person that you want to do business with? The next test I want to talk about is the Construction 101 Assessment. To date, we've had over 100 contractors take the 101 assessment, and I have to say I'm extremely surprised at the results. The average score of all of the contractors taking the assessment is 54%. The test was designed to have a passing grade at 70%. And I have to say, the score that surprised me the most was my own. I went through and answered the test as honestly as I could and only scored a 78%. I think we all have a lot of room for improvement, and those contractors that were not able to pass it will have a difficult time making it into the next decade. And now it's time for the legal segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. The information contained in the legal segment is taken from the Construction Claims Advisor with express permission from the WP Publishing Company. This month we will be taking a look at how a subcontractor modified a standard subcontract form utilizing its proposal and the ramifications that occurred. A North Carolina court has ruled that a subcontractor's proposal modified a prime contractor's standard subcontract form, increasing the subcontract price. A little bit of background in this case. Alamance County awarded a contract to John W. Daniel and Company Incorporated to construct an addition to a detention center. JMW Concrete Contractors submitted a 5-page proposal to Daniel for the concrete work on the project. Daniel informed JMW of its intention to award JMW the subcontract. Daniel sent JMW its standard subcontract form, stating a fixed price of $711,046. JMW made several handwritten changes to Daniel's subcontract. Most significantly, JMW added include JMW proposal as part of the contract, and JMW altered the subcontract price to $734,286. That amount was consistent with the price stated on pages 1 and 5 of JMW's proposal. Daniel then made several handwritten changes to pages 2 and 4 of the proposal addressing the subcontract scope of work, and initialed the changes. Daniel did not initial pages 1 or 5. Daniel then signed the subcontract form and returned it to JMW. The parties later disagreed regarding the base subcontract price. Daniel contended that the agreed change orders and back charges should be applied to the price of $711,046. JMW said it had stipulated a subcontract price of $734,286. Daniel countered that it had initialed pages 2 through 4 of the JMW's proposal, but not pages 1 or 5, and had never agreed to an increase in the subcontract price. A trial court ruled in favor of the subcontractor. Daniel appealed. The Court of Appeals of North Carolina said the 5-page proposal had been presented to Daniel as a unified document. Daniel could accept it in its entirety as a term of the agreement, reject it in its entirety, or modify the proposal and accept it subject to the modifications. Daniel chose the final option and modified pages 2 through 4. Daniel's failure to initial pages 1 and 5, which reflected the increase in the subcontract price, did not negate the terms stated on those pages, and Daniel never refuted the increase in the subcontract price entered on Daniel's own subcontract form. JMW presented evidence that all pages of the proposal were sent together as one document. The final page was a schedule of values for billing purposes, setting forth subtotals of each of the 6 general categories of work shown on the first page of the proposal. Although neither the first nor the last page was initialed by a Daniel representative, the standard form subcontract was adjusted to reflect the total contract amount. The court also rejected Daniel's argument that the proposal was a modification to the subcontract, and JMW had furnished no additional consideration to support the modification. The proposal was submitted during the negotiation of the subcontract and became part of the agreement. It was not a modification of an existing agreement. This is a classic example that I have seen over and over again, where responsible parties do not fully understand or even sometimes do not read their contract documents. This could have been clearly settled and clarified if the contractor and the subcontractor had sat down in a pre-award conference and gone through all of the contract documents in total prior to signing. And now it's time for the safety segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. For years now, I have driven around and looked at new residential single-family home construction and wondered how in the world they survived in the safety environment that we as commercial contractors have to live in. In most cases, there is very little attention paid to safety on these projects, unless they are being built by a large national builder. Well, it appears that OSHA is going to start cracking down on residential construction, particularly of small contractors doing single-family residences. In a case I just reviewed, a residential masonry contractor was issued 11 repeat and 5 serious safety violations for proposed penalty that reached $146,000. The OSHA compliance officer observed that the employees were exposed to fall hazard while laying brick on a residential house. The company was also cited for not having a safety program. Employees were not wearing personal protective equipment, using an improper extension cord made of the permanent wiring from the house with no ground fault protection. The contractor involved also failed to implement or maintain written hazardous communications program for employees working with mortar or cement, good old MSDS sheets and programs. The scaffold planking was not designed by a qualified person. Damaged planks were not replaced or removed. The frames of the fabricated scaffold were not joined together with coupling or stacking pins, and there were also no guards on the pulley or gears on the mortar mixer being used on the project. $146,000 in fines for what I have observed on a lot of single-family residences that I've seen. This includes most all trades on these projects. I think this is a wake-up call, particularly to our residential side of the business, that Big Brother is watching and OSHA is coming. And now it's time for the Construction Business Mastery Quick Tips and Bonus section. First of all, I'd like to encourage everyone that enjoyed a little bit about what Jeff Peden had to say to go to www.jeffpeden.com and check out his website, and he's got some good information there that might be able to help you. I'll also put a link to his website in our show notes. Also, as a part of our bonus section, we're going to leave the Construction 101 assessment up, and you can take it for free. And I'd like to encourage every contractor out there that listens to this podcast to go ahead and log on to the show notes and catch the link for the Construction 101 assessment and take it. Try to be very honest, and hopefully our scores as an industry will go up. But I know it will also give you some real insight into where there may be some areas in your firm that you need to work on. Additionally, this month, PlanSwift has given us a free 15-day trial of their computer-based estimating software. This is the software that we use, and I highly recommend it. This is a great opportunity for you to try it out for free. I would also like to encourage everyone to rate Construction Business Mastery Podcast in iTunes. The higher we get up in the ratings, the more people have an opportunity to find us and listen to our podcast. So if you've enjoyed this podcast and you want to continue listening to it, please log on to iTunes and rate the podcast and let others know what you think about it. Thank you very much, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next month.